This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Stevie Kim from Vinitaly. How are you, Stevie?
Yeah, I'm back.
just for the listeners who didn't hear last week, yes. What's your role at Vinitaly?
I'm the managing director of Vinitaly International.
Okay, and Vinitaly International is a sort of a almost like the wine marketing for Vinitaly, the big trade show. Yeah.
Promotional arm for Vinitaly.
Yeah, okay. And one of the things about Vinitaly is you're promoting it, and we touched on last week about, you know, you do a lot of English promotion, but what are the sort of big building blocks of the way you look at the promotion from Vinitaly's side?
So for Vinitaly, you know, because it was a very old trade exhibition, when I came in, and I'm totally ignorant of, I'm not a wine expert. I drink a lot of it. I guess that makes me an alcoholic. But besides that, I had no wine expertise. And when I came in, I think I had a different perspective, more simplistic, if you will. And I needed to make the wine fair a bit more sexy and glamorous, if you will. So I've started with a first product. It's called Opera Wine. Yeah. Because, you know, in the heart of, I don't know if you've been to the center, but you see the arena. Okay.
Which is a big old Colosseum.
Yeah,
type
and
thing.
That's where we have the opera. They're really, this is a huge opera season, you know, centric kind of town. So, you know, we called it Opera Wine. And not at the exhibition center, but in the heart of town, we have a one day kind of the premiere, the opening event for Vinitaly, the day before Vinitaly in town. And it's kind of the where it's great because you know how Italians are, you know, like Angelo Gaia or Fresco Baldi, Antinori, they're all great pals, but none of them want to be together in the same room to share the spotlight. So I thought of a way of doing this, and which was that Wine Spectator, you know, which is the for the Italian wine, it is definitely the most important magazine. Uh-huh. Because it is for the American market, and it really moves containers for the Italian wine. So we've partnered with them, and it is now that was one of my first projects. We do a walk around tasting, but with the principles of the 100 top wines that the Wine Spectators chooses. So I don't know if you ever heard of their product. It's called Wine Experience in New York.
No.
They do it with 300 producers.
Yeah.
But that's, of course, with the international wineries. And this is just with the Italian wineries. So we get, you know, all the winemakers, the principals, trapped in a room together. And we have about 1,500 invitees. Mostly invited directly by the wineries. They get 10 invitees, each of them. We invite the other 500, and it's a great event, and that's where you get to really see the principles. And actually, even for themselves, I think it's the first time that once a year, it's an annual meeting, party kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what we do. It's called Opera Wine, and that's a fantastic event that we do. So that's one thing that we've started, and now we have, you know, some people coming in their private jets and stuff like that. So it's quite fun.
Yep.
So that's one of the first things that we've done. Another thing that that we're doing is Wine to Wine, which is a two-day wine business forum. This started because in the beginning, when I started with Vinitaly, I tried organizing all of the different workshops for market focus and marketing and promotional programs for producers so that they can learn, prepare themselves better to approach the market. But no one used to come. I mean, just a handful. I mean, what I mean by handful are about 100 people, and when there should have been, you know, like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
So mostly because, and rightly so, the producers, and the suppliers, they're very, very busy trying to, you know, make some sales.
You know?
So they're very busy behind in their stands trying to work, you know, a commercial side of to their presence. So what we did was completely position this moment, you know, of the educational part two dedicated to the producers. Usually in the first week of December. This year it's the last week of November, because it's a moment after the harvest, before the Christmas holidays, when they don't have to think about, you know, wine promotion, right? So, like, there's no wine tasting involved. I mean, today we have, of course, we do a wine tasting for the tasting panel for the speakers, the international speakers. But otherwise, there isn't very much wine tasting involved. So it's just about learning, doing courses for the producers.
Yeah.
So that worked out, and there are about 1,500 attendees. And this is our fifth year ongoing. So that's another product that we've introduced. Another very, very important product, which is close to my heart, is called Vinitaly International Academy.
Yeah.
And that is about, you know, I was going around in the beginning and I said, I'm currently still involved. I have the first master's program for doctors and medical doctors and psychologists and dietitians for eating disorders and obesity, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yep.
It's a 1-year program. And I did that because I used to train about 800 medical doctors a year, and it was kind of useless, you know, because they all went. It was very fleeting, you know, the program. So I started a master's program, and I just wanted, and that was, you know, and I was just, I thought it was much more better organized, and it was a better return on investment in terms of the organization for the medical doctors. So I wanted to kind of emulate that into the wine program. So I said, instead of doing like thousands of master classes, isolated, you know, events all over the world, why don't I just try to do, you know, a few good men kind of approach.
Yep.
So we started that, and we've started training about anywhere from 50 to 60 candidates, very highly qualified candidates who want to do an in-depth training in Italian wine of 5 days, 4 days of training and then 1 day of exam. And the pass rate is actually about 25%.
Okay.
It's focused on native grapes. But we now, after 10 editions in 4 years, because we did four in Italy and then other countries like China and America. We are currently now certified with 170 Italian wine ambassadors. That's the title that they receive.
Mm-hmm.
So that in their turn, they can also teach in their territory, you know, with a protocoled program that we're talking about.
Yep.
And it's going to be called Italian Wine Maestro Program. And that's why we wrote that book.
Yep.
It's a community-based book, Italian Wine Unplugged. And that is kind of the basis of the program that we'll be going out with locally through our Italian Wine Ambassadors.
It's a very big book.
Yes, it's heavy. It's book. It's
550 pages.
Yeah, it's perfect if you suffer from insomnia. It comes in quite handy. But it's a reference book to have a basis for the program that we're doing. And we are actually in reformatting stage, where we have new faculty members, Sarah Heller, the youngest MW, and based in Hong Kong, and Henry Duval, he's based in Las Vegas. He has a very in-depth knowledge. He was the ex-wine director for the Bastianich Group. I don't know if you know that.
No.
It's a huge restaurateur group, hospitality group, in America. And then we have the chief scientist. This is kind of curious. His name is Attilio Scienza. He's a professor. He's a vine geneticist. Very famous. He's written, I don't know, like 350 scientific articles. He does all the mappings all over Italy.
The great mappings, yeah.
And his name is Scienza. Of course, it means science in English. So, and that's, we're working with him, and we are completely reformatting also the course. So it will be very interesting to go forward with this program. We have very good support so far. So we are, you know, because Italian wine is difficult. You know, it's very complicated.
Well, people say that, but I don't think it's any more complicated than French wine. But it's just that it's not as well in England anyway, it's not as well known as, every English person goes on holiday in France, and so they grow up with the regions, and France has got better awareness of their regions, whereas the Italian wines are just as complicated. It's just that no one, it's not as easy as for the English people anyway to engage.
I think just in terms of also the grapes, right? Because they say that anywhere from 12 to 14 grapes make up 90% of French wines and Australian wines and, you know, California wines.
Yeah.
You know, and then we have, 590 indigenous grape variety, and that's not counting the international grape variety. So it is, I think, confusing in that sense because it's so fragmented and, and not to mention all the, 440, DOCs and DOCGs and the pronunciation. And so I think what we're trying to do is just develop some tools to help, have a systematic approach to approaching Italian wine, but not to forget about the Italian culture and the food.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we can do that is to bring back many people as possible to Italy. I think that's what the French have done so remarkably well, is that they have trained so many people in their own country, as well as invited so many. And I think the Australians, they've done a really great job bringing back the trade and the press to become their evangelists of their wines.
Okay. You've got your Vinitaly courses, your academy.
Yes.
And you've got, I'm going to talk to Monty about the Italian wine podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
But what was the reasoning behind that?
Well, it's just one more thing to broadcast Italian wines in a different format with a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to your style, I think. It's very conversational.
Yeah.
But it's actually short.
Yeah.
It's not very long because I want, it's just like a get to know, whether it's a producer or personalities, how they're engaged with the Italian wine. And I think sometimes just, hearing their, Benini type of accent makes it a little bit more interesting and engaging to get to know the producer. So I think it just, more the better in a way, and just different mediums, different styles. And I think, podcasts, again, it's a great future. It's just, it's slow, but I really believe in the podcast format.
Yeah, no, it's good. And what about, and we've touched on Wine to Wine being about education for the trade.
Yes.
And you're running it here in Verona. Do you... Is everything based around Verona? Because that's where you are, and Vinitaly is based. But
well, the things that I do in Verona are such, but like the academy, it's also abroad.
Yeah.
All of the different events that we do, they're also abroad.
Yeah.
And when we do incoming activities, we organize, maybe incoming activities for the consortiums or the producers in conjunction with the local partners. That will also be in different places all over, whether it's in Sicily or, in Tuscany or Piemonte or, Sardinia. It will be all over Italy.
Okay. And last question, a bit of a mean one.
Yes.
What's your favorite Italian wine?
I would say I like all sparkling wines.
Yeah.
Whether it's Prosecco, Franciacorta, Trento DOC. I love sparkling wines. Like every day, one thing I do is when I get home, I need 5 minutes of peace by myself, and I drink a glass of sparklers, and then, I'll just enjoy the day. And, I appreciate life. I think as you get older, I'm not very spiritual. So I live like every day, day by day. And I'm just grateful for the day,
I thought you were going to say grateful for the bubbles.
Yeah, that too, And the bubbles, I just love bubbles,
Yeah.
It's a very girly girl thing to say, I suppose, but I'm very keen about bubbles. So just give me any type of bubbles and I'm a happy girl.
Okay, just on that, Obviously, the Italians are well known for, you know, Prosecco, and they're also, you know, Moscato d'Asti's and that sort of stuff. But there are some more traditional sparkling wines made in Italy, aren't there? Traditional methods sparkling wines. Which is the DOCs for that?
Well, there's Franciacorta, but, you know, the problem with Franciacorta is, like, it's very elegant. And if you did a blind tasting, you know, I think it weighs in very, very nicely with the Champagne growers or Trento DOC. But they're just not well known. Franciacorta is very tiny, first of all. So I'm uncertain that it will ever become hugely popular. It's in Lombardy. It's in, you know, it's just right next to, it's in right next to Brescia, Milan, that area, Franciacorta. So it's in Lombardy, Oltrepo Pavese, which is also another area. And then, of course, Trento DOC, which is, in Trento. And they make lovely, lovely sparklers, and even a lot of the co-ops. And I just think that, you know, I would love to, push the sparklers also. And actually, a lot of them are experimenting with the sparklers now, in other territories with other types of grapes. And, you know, Prosecco is coming out with the rosé. I'm not sure that's going to be, a hit or a miss, but it's interesting because that's for the American market.
I was going to say, in the UK, Prosecco has been huge for about a decade now. Mm-hmm. But we had a news story last week called Peak Prosecco, because the growth of Prosecco in the UK is now, it used to be double-digit growth year on year, and now it's just starting to flatten out. Now, that could be Brexit, or it could be that, you know, the market share has grown to the point where it's now quite a mature market.
That's interesting, yeah. I didn't know that.
And I was just wondering whether I know England or UK is, I think it's the biggest importer of Prosecco.
Yeah, I think England is very, very significant, one of the first adopters of Prosecco.
Yeah, but
of course, America is really, really the real market.
Is it?
There's just no... Prosecco actually has done a great, great job, because it is actually... It leads the entire Italian wine sector, right? Because I know, like, people, the wine snobs, especially the wine experts, they snub Prosecco. You know, I get so mad at that, because they're the ones who are leading the Italian wine category, and they help sell every other Italian wine. And that, you know, allows them to try expand into the other Italian wines. So, I just don't see any, low demand in Prosecco. Yep. Like, everyone seems to be sold out in terms of from the supplier side. Especially this year, it hasn't been the greatest harvest. So I reckon.
18's harvest.
Yeah.
I knew last year was sort of hit a little bit. But.
Yeah, it's the weather, the water. You know, it was torrential, rain. And the... So I'm not certain what the harvest is going to be. I think it's going to be lower than last year. And that may affect also, Prosecco prices, and that may have the demand and offer kind of rebalance itself.
Yeah. Okay then, Stevie. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thanks so much for having me.
Cheers.
Arrivederci.